What's up, Nets fans? Welcome to the Brooklyn Buzz, presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, the great Jack Manuel and two special guests, Dylan Jackson, Evan Dial, bringing some Charlotte flavor. What's up, guys?
Hey, Nick. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. Thank you for having me as well. Good to be here.
Pleasure to be surrounded by such absolute greatness, Hornets greatness, Nets greatness. Mate, this is going to be a great pod.
It is a great pod, and we had our first trade of the offseason today. Brooklyn acquired Dwight Howard for Timothy Mozgov, 2 second-round picks, 45th in this draft upcoming on Thursday, and a 2021 second-round pick. What was your reaction to the trade, guys?
So I'll start with the Hornets side, and basically the reason they wanted to do this is to avoid the luxury tax for a team that won 36 games last season. So moving Dwight now will save us about $8 million, and even though picking up Mozgov hurts some more long-term salary outlook. Dwight made no sense on the team, though. It looks like rebuilding is going to happen in Charlotte. And we wanted to open up more minutes for Hernan Gomez as well. Looks like, and Zeller will probably resume his starting role. It shows how little Dwight's trade value is, though. I mean, the fact that this is, I'm sure we tried our hardest to get more, and this is the best we could settle on. I mean, Mozgov's totally useless at this point in his career. And then a second rounder this year is kind of nice in the future, but the Nets, I would say, definitely won this trade, but it's not awful for Hornets, and I get the thinking behind it. I mean, Dwight can still get 16 and 12, and then the Nets can dump him the next year, and they'll have mad space in 2019, so it's great for them. And for us, at least we have a little bit of wiggle room, assuming more rooms are come, you know, and we'll still try to dump salary, of course, but at least we won't be super near the tax and maybe might be able to get a low-tier free agent. So Nets win the trade to some, but not totally awful for the Hornets. I get it.
Yeah, my initial reaction was shock as a Hornets fan. The press conference, the pre-draft press conference for Mitch Kupchak was yesterday. He said there wouldn't be much roster turnover, so I wasn't expecting a big trade. And Dwight Howard, one of really our two best players, I guess, last year, besides Kemba Walker, who was an all-star. He averaged around 15 points, 12 rebounds. So I was pretty shocked. What this trade does for Charlotte is it opens up playtime for some of the young guys, Cody Zeller, Willie Hernan Gomez, stuff like that. We also get two picks, of course, and you know how Michael Jordan is with cash considerations. So we got a lot of, I would say, a decent return. I didn't expect much. They tried to trade him before the deadline in the winter. So I didn't really expect much on the Hornets side. I definitely think the Nets won. They got rid of Timothy Mozgov's contract, which was really, really bad. It was originally signed by Mitch Kupchak as well.
Yeah,
so that's been going on Twitter a lot recently today. So I think you open up two max slots for next offseason for the Nets. I think they definitely won.
Yeah, as a Nets fan, Nick, it was surprising to say the least, because I always had the Bleacher notifications on, the Woj notifications on, and I saw the name, I saw Woj, I'm like, oh no, there's nothing happening right now. And then I go back to, you know, working on some article, doing a bit of prep for some future pods, and then I see that this, and it starts making the waves, the shock hits, as the boys were saying. And it's positive shock. The initial is like, yes, I love this. And then I start to go, okay, well, then what is it exactly? What are those second rounders? What is the cap sort of consideration that sort of works out for Charlotte and Brooklyn? And as the boys are mentioning, you know, for Charlotte, it works a little bit in terms of the luxury tax style. Michael Jordan's never going to go into the luxury tax, I feel like, unless he's got a perennial championship team. And I don't think he's really going to get that anytime soon. So it makes sense for their franchise. And as for the Nets, you know, as Dylan was mentioning, those two max spots puts the Nets in a very enviable position going forward. I mean, we talked about on a previous buzz about the sort of the space that they have this year. And then going forward in 2019, to be able to fit two max free agents, it's certainly very interesting because, you know, New York is definitely a franchise city and Brooklyn is on the rise. So plenty of positivity for the Nets and, you know, a little bit of there for Charlotte. But at the same time, you know, you get rid of the locker room cancer, as he's often. I feel like that can't be a nickname, but like there needs to be some horrible nickname for Dwight. But get rid of Dwight, get in a Russian center that apparently Mitch Kupchak has a thing for. So it works out well for both sides in different ways.
Yeah, no, definitely for both sides. And I was amazed to see that Moskov was able to get traded. I did not expect that to happen over the next 2 years. Just the fact that they were able to do it without attaching a first-round pick was kind of incredible. And it's so ironic that Dwight is finally in Brooklyn. Obviously, it's been rumored to come here since like 2012 with Darren Williams, and now he's finally here at like, you know, at the lower end of his career. But what could Nets fans expect from Dwight Howard this season? What can he bring to the Nets team?
So Dwight can still play a little bit. He's obviously a pros and cons player. I mean, as Dylan said, 15 and 12 last year, still shoots a good percentage, monster rebounder. Defense, not nearly the same as what he used to be. When it's engaged, though, it's still pretty good. The problems are the locker room issues just have just seemed to follow him wherever he goes. And I just don't know why he can't get his shit together with that. But and then a lot from what I've heard, complaints from Hornets players and stuff, a lazy screen setter at time, prefers just to get post-ups or just face-up. Defense, he doesn't like to come out on the perimeter anymore, which is becoming more and more of an issue with, you know, a shooting league and pace and space. But you guys, he can kind of help groom Jared Allen a little bit. It's only just probably a year for him anyway. I think he could definitely help and put up around the same numbers as last time. I doubt he would be cool coming off the bench for Allen, but he could still produce a little bit, but it's just like there's just some stuff you have to put up with, I guess is the best way to put it.
I'm so hot and cold with Dwight Howard. He just didn't really fit the Charlotte mold. He's just not that screen setting type of center. Doesn't really fit the modern NBA. 5-10 years ago, he would have been great. Today it's just not the same NBA. But all in all, he's still a great, maybe average center in the NBA. He puts up the stats, but really the advanced analytics is where he struggles.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna back him up a little bit. I know his name's been mentioned a little bit in other pods on Full Access Hoops and on the outlet and stuff. I've always been a decent fan of Dwight. He is a future Hall of Famer, no matter what anyone wants to say. You know, he was fifth in offensive rebounding last year, fourth for defensive rebounding, and third in total rebounds. You know, third in blocks. He's a bit of a sort of stat stuffer, to say the least. And Nick, I'm sure we talked about his game as well, that 30-30 game against our Nets. So at least we don't have to play against him this year. I guess that's one positive we can take away from it.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, I've never been a huge Dwight guy. You know, I wasn't a big fan of them getting him, but in this situation, I don't really mind. And like you guys said, it's going to be interesting what happens, because my personal preference would be Jared Allen starts and he comes off the bench. Do you think there's going to be a lot of issues with Dwight Howard in Brooklyn in terms of the locker room, or if he has to come off the bench?
He wouldn't. I mean, I'll tell you straight up, he won't want to come off the bench. But if you guys can agree to have him do that, that's awesome, because that's probably his best role right now. In terms of locker rooms, I mean, it's like, who knows? I feel like it started off pretty well in Charlotte, and he had a good relationship with Clifford, but then things kind of soured. And I know you guys are kind of a young team, so that could be an issue. I mean, I guess the only veterans on the team is like Damari Carroll. So
and Jalen, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not sure. That's fun. Jalen and Howard are reunited from
Houston times, yeah.
So I'm not sure if there's someone who can hold him in check, but it's a kind of a hope for the best kind of thing in the locker room. You can't guarantee anything with him, honestly.
I completely agree with Evan. He started out the year great. He started off as a top 10 center in the NBA, just like the statistics and really playing defensively. He was great the beginning of the year, but towards the end of the year, that's where he really struggled. I believe he was the only Hornet to actually play all of the games this year, if that tells you anything about his durability. Just that locker room cancerous thing, it's just on and off with me for him. Really, anywhere he goes, they've all described him as cancerous in the locker room. So that's just plain and simple what you're going to get from him.
Yeah, I think locker room wise, you can't deny it. The guy's been playing on that many different teams. You know, it takes two hands to actually count the amount of teams that he's been playing on in the past half decade or so. I think locker room wise, we sort of snickered a little bit the Jeremy Lin thing, but I feel like you know, doing a little bit of research on their sort of past relationship and sort of reuniting. You know, there was a couple of years ago when he was on the Hawks and he gave the sort of fake dap to Jeremy Lin. Back when they were in Houston, Jeremy Lin posted a bit on Instagram of, and he seemed to be quite close with Dwight. I think they've got this this connection in terms of their religion. They have a solid connection there. I feel like that could be a positive thing. I feel like Jeremy Lin is underrated in his sort of locker room presence. I feel like he can be a fun guy. And in terms of just the locker room, I like what the Nets locker room culture has built over the past sort of couple of years since Sean Marks and Coach Kenny have been in it. But this will certainly be a test for it. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, if he's that much of an issue in the locker room, I feel like at the trade deadline around that sort of February mark, there's an opportunity that we can buy him out and, you know, send him to another team and they can deal with him, because I'm sure another team will take him on for a cheap sort of rate. You know, Dwight Howard still can put some bums on seats, so to speak, if you want to get some ticket sales, and that'll certainly help the Nets in a way as well. But, you know, I don't think it's all doom and gloom in terms of the locker room, but it's certainly not positive.
Yeah, it's definitely something you got to keep an eye on. And like you said, Jack, if it really gets that bad, they can buy him out. But Evan and Dylan, anything you think Nets fans need to know about Dwight?
I think the worst case scenario, you're gonna pull a Knicks and Jakeem Noah him.
Oh wow, that is unfortunately possible. I would be shocked to get there. Look, when Dwight's engaged and has a fire lit under him, he can still dominate a game and take over. Like the Nets game you mentioned, like he did have a few monster games this year. It just, I wouldn't, expect it on a consistent basis. There'll be some games when you can just tell, like, he's not really into it. But a lot of it, I think, will depend on how competitive the Nets are, honestly. With winning and things are going well, you'll get a better Dwight. But if things, you know, adversity happens, which it probably will, he can be frustrated easily.
I mean, come on, guys. He said he wanted to be like Tim Duncan. That's why he put the number 12 on his jersey. Come on, guys. If he wants to be – that's his role model. That's who he's aspiring to be. Surely that's going to work out well for our Brooklyn Nets.
God bless. But big thanks to Evan and Dylan for hopping on. Check those guys out on Twitter. Also, check out their podcast. Evan's got Players Watch. Dylan's got Rookie Report. Both of the OTG podcast family. Big thanks, guys.
Thanks, Nick. Take care, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it a lot.
Like I said, big thanks to Evan and Dylan, both guys, great podcast, big Hornets fans. They do some great coverage for OTG basketball, also the SB Nation Hornets site as well. But Jack, what do you think is going to happen with Dwight? Do you think they're going to start him? They're going to start Jared Allen? What do you think is going to happen with that situation?
Look, we had a bit of a chat in our DMs, Nick, as we like to do on a frequent basis. We are good friends. I do have friends. Thank you for listening, guys. I need this validation for the podcast. But we sort of differed in our views a little bit. I'll piggybacking off a little bit what Evan and Dylan was saying. I don't see it as set in stone as Jared Allen's going to be starting. He started towards the end of the season, showed some awesome flashes. He had moments where he was in and out of games. He certainly didn't have that, you know, 82 game motor due to his college history. But as I think it was Dylan or Evan that mentioned, he did play all 82 games last season, Dwight. So he does have that longevity. His body is durable. He knows how to sort of get the most out of himself. He's proven in this league in terms of, you know, playing games, putting up numbers in that sort of sense. I see at least early on that Dwight starts. And who knows? We could see a Joakim situation. We could see a buyout situation. But I feel like at a point it could turn whether, you know, Dwight develops a nice relationship with our front office and our coaching staff, when he embraces that sort of mentoring, sort of leadership role that could be thrust upon him. It's going to be interesting to see, because I also don't mind the balance that these two sort of have in terms of the centers. Jared Allen has that little bit of mobility in a sense where he can sort of switch on the perimeter, whereas Dwight Howard is a sort of better rim runner and a better sort of, you know, defensive guy. And Jared Allen's screening is a lot better. We sort of talked and remarked about it in senses about his dexterity in that sort of role. So I don't mind the balance between these two. I certainly don't. I prioritize the development of Jared Allen over almost anything in this franchise right now, because as Spencer did when he mentioned, he's a top five possible center in this league. But having Dwight could be a positive. I'm a glass half full guy, as I mentioned before.
Yeah, I think personally, my preference, if I was in charge, I'd make sure Jared Allen was starting. I think he, like you said, he's probably the surest thing in this franchise in terms of who's going to be the, you know, an all-star type player. And I think Jared Allen's almost a lock to do that if he continues, you know, the rise that he's on right now. But I could see Dwight not being happy about it. I think it's going to be a big job of the coaching staff in the front office because I think it actually could benefit Dwight. I think, you know, he did play all 82 games, but if you watch some of the Hornets games or, you know, last year, the two seasons ago when he was on the Hawks in the postseason, he runs out of gas sometimes. He runs out of gas in the fourth quarter. They also mentioned his perimeter defense. You know, if he's fully energized and only playing, you know, in the high 20s maybe, he's going to play a lot better and he's going to be a monster on the boards.
In terms of that production, it's also a contract year for Dwight. And, you know, if he's wanting to sort of get the most out of himself and, you know, get that payday, I feel like he's going to have to play nice with the Brooklyn franchise. But at the same time, you know, if he's only getting, you know, 18 to 22 minutes a night, is he going to be able to get that sort of payday that he's looking for? I mean, he already got it in terms of the elevated contract that he's currently on, but he's still got a couple of years left in him as his sort of health indicates, but you know it's going to be an interesting one going forward.
Yeah, because like you said, you know, does he want to go for the big payday or does he want to work on his reputation? Because like you guys had mentioned, he's been on so many different teams. He's been known as a locker room cancer. You know, does he want to play nice with the Nets and do what they ask him to do, be a great mentor for Jared Allen, maybe work on being a bench role? Like, I think he could be really good in a bench role. Obviously, there's no guarantee. And also the other reason I like starting Jared Allen, like you mentioned, his mobility. Not only offensively, but defensively, I think he sets the Nets up better to be a lockdown defensive team. Dwight's not the same defensive center he was. He still has nice flashes, but mobility-wise, pick-and-roll defense is already a problem, especially with somebody like D'Angelo. So having Dwight, who's going to sit back on screens, you're just going to get killed. You know what I mean? There's, like, no chance in defending a D'Angelo and a Dwight defending a pick-and-roll.
Yeah, it's certainly not going to be the most defensively savvy sort of duo in those two, but look, there's an element of excitement to this sort of trade in the sense, like you mentioned, Nick, you know, it goes back as far as 2011, the sort of Dwight Howard, Brooklyn Nets history. So it's 7 years too late to an extent, but at the same time, I'm glad we didn't make that trade, but we did do another horrible one anyway. So the fact that we could get Dwight Howard in a Brooklyn Nets uniform 7 years into beyond what he was expected to be, you know, it's fun times. And I mean, it's going to be entertaining, if anything.
Yeah, and like you said, it'll bring some fans to the seats. You know, Dwight still has some hype. He has a name to sell. Like, my girlfriend messaged me, she's like, are you hyped the Nets got Dwight? And I was like, it's more of a money move. She was like, yeah, at least they got rid of Mozgov. I hate him. And I was like, yeah, I'm right there with you.
She's a keeper.
So Mozgov, let's talk a little about him leaving. I felt like this was a great move, not only because of the contract, but the last few weeks he's been talking trash about Kenny and the Nets organization. And that just isn't acceptable with the culture the Nets are trying to set.
Yeah, Dwight Howard averaged 16 and 12 in 81 games last season. Timofey Mozgov averaged 4 and 3 in 31. I like those numbers in terms of Dwight Howard over Timofey Mozgov. The contract is better. Timofey's, we were talking at length about, you know, Dwight Howard being a locker room sort of cancer. Timofey was certainly starting to become that, and we aren't even playing games yet. We're in the offseason. Yeah. He's a locker room cancer. I feel like, you know, if I would much rather, if you giving me, you know, either of these guys for next season and you take their contracts out of it, I would still probably take, you know, for one season alone, I would still probably take Dwight over Timofey Mozgov. Yes, I guess you could argue that, like we were talking about with Jared Allen, Dwight could stunt the growth and development in that sense. And Timofey sort of was usurped within, you know, the first couple of games to Tyler Zeller. And then later on when he was traded to Jared Allen. So there's positives and negatives to both, but I love the fact that he's gone. We trashed him aplenty on this pod, and with due course, like, he deserved it. He doesn't belong in today's modern NBA. I mean, Dwight Howard doesn't to an extent either, but at least Dwight Howard can rebound and can at least move and can at least block the ball. Timofey, you know, does not have any mobility whatsoever, and good riddance to him, because he was trashing our boy Coach Kenny and our franchise, and, you know, we don't need that in Brooklyn.
Yeah, and the fact that he was questioning why he wasn't playing, you know, like, respectfully, I understand you're confident and you're an NBA player, but you could watch the tape and see why you weren't playing. It wasn't like, you know, the Nets were ridiculous for benching you. You couldn't make a layup. You couldn't defend anything. Why would they keep you on the floor? There was really no point. But talking about why the Nets really made this move was to open up money for next year and get rid of that Mozgov contract. Not only did they get rid of a guy who didn't like the franchise and complain about the coach, but now there's a chance they could have possibly two max spots going to the next offseason. What are your thoughts on that, and how exciting is it?
Oh, it's insane, Nick. When was the last time we heard the Nets in any sort of future prospects to getting in free agents? You know, $33 million projected on the book. So that's only guaranteed. So there's Allen Crabbe's contract. There's Jared Allen's contract, rookie contract. LeVert's rookie contract. And Whitehead, if he's still there. We talked about that on the buzz. We don't think he'll be there. And then there'll be some restricted rights for D'Angelo Russell and Rondo Hollis-Jefferson. So those two may complicate things in a sense if they're still with the Nets, depending on D'Angelo's season. So, I mean, I'm all for giving D'Angelo the money if he deserves it. But at the end of the day, you know, we can create over $70 million of cap room, which is more than enough for two max contracts. You know, everyone's talking about the Lakers right now, and they're trying to create that sort of amount of money to lure their sort of guys. They're trying to get rid of Luol Deng's contract. We got rid of one of the guys that the Lakers sort of got rid of to create that extra cap room. So we're in a really enviable spot. I know that, you know, like I mentioned, New York is certainly a franchise destination. And, you know, for guys like Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler, Klay Thompson, all these, Kemba Walker, Kevin Love, Chris Middleton, Kawhi Leonard, all these guys could be calling up Sean Marks soon enough. It's certainly exciting to finally have the Nets as a respected and envied franchise.
Yeah, and what, you know, it's nice seeing the Nets be more relevant in those type of talks. And like you mentioned, you know, I believe what they can do with D'Angelo, and that almost won't even impact it. I'm not a salary cap expert, but they could sign the two guys for the max spots and then sign D'Angelo after, because they'll have his bird rights and he'll be a restricted free agent. So yeah, they could really finagle that, depending on like what they do with the cap hold. But still, the Nets could really be in a great position. And like you mentioned, having Jared Allen and Caris LeVert, two great complementary players to big stars. Same thing with Allen Crabbe as well. You know, they're going to be in a great position. And even if they were only able to land one big-time free agent, the franchise is in a lot better shape, especially with the young talent they have. So super exciting in that front as well. And Sean Marks, like, the fact that he got rid of Moskov without giving anything with true value, like, they still have another pick in the second round, I believe at the 40th pick, and they have other second-round picks they've acquired in different trades. So the Nets are in great shape in terms of they'll have their draft pick back next year. Now they're building up their assets. They're building up their cap space. Like, they're just, I couldn't imagine that being this position, you know, just when Sean Marks took over. He's done an incredible job, you know, not to like really ride him that hard, but still, like, Sean Marks has been incredible at GM for Brooklyn.
Yeah, it's already, you know, we talked about, you know, his sort of status around the league already is gaining traction. The fact that we are in, you know, the fact he's able to finagle such wondrous moves that create such cap room, the buy low sort of things on getting guys like Dante Cunningham, turning Tyler Zeller into a second round pick, you know, reforming Damari Carroll and turning him to a possible sort of trade prospect. You know, all these things that Sean Marks has done in such a short space of time makes him the envy of the NBA. I know I was having a bit of a back and forth with Matt Peoples on Twitter. He's like, you know, we need that GM. Can we borrow him for a little bit out in Philly? He's a Philadelphia 76ers fan. So, you know, it's awesome to see the Nets being more respected. In terms of my tenure since being a Nets fan, it hasn't been this promising since the initial moment of that Billy King trade. But we won't go back to that because it's brighter days ahead.
Yeah, best case scenario, if you could pick one of the free agents of next year, if you can pick one of the max free agents, assuming they don't get two, which they possibly could, who would it be?
Well, to be honest, it would probably be Kevin Durant, but I don't see that happening. LeBron James will probably do a one-on-one, so those are the two top ones. I'd love to see – it's hard to say it because it's such a great – I mean, Kawhi Leonard for me, if he's healthy, is one of the only guys in the NBA that can make LeBron James scared. There was a video sort of making the rounds yet again of Kawhi coming, subbing in during that Miami series, and LeBron James turning around and him sort of muttering to himself, "Oh, S word." And it's just like the impact that Kawhi Leonard has when he's at his best. He is a top two, top three player, MVP candidate, Defensive Player of the Year candidate. I think we have short memories in the sense of how good Kawhi Leonard is, a lot of people. So Kawhi would certainly be right at the top of that list if he's available. And who knows, if the Nets sort of have a decent enough year and Kawhi, you know, sort of signs a one-year deal wherever he is and doesn't decide to sort of, maybe he stays in San Antonio one more year out of respect for Pop in that sort of sense. I mean, he'd be fun. But there's, you know, Klay Thompson as well. I mean, I've said before, I'm not a huge fan of the Golden State Warriors, but a Brooklyn Klay would be pretty awesome. You know, we could turn Brooklyn Klay could become a viral thing. You know, China Klay, let's make a Brooklyn Klay. So there's just so many things, so many possibilities, Nick.
Yeah, and Jimmy Butler's really intriguing too. Like, I love the toughness he could bring as well. You know, if you're not able to get one of those guys, how amazing would it be if they got LeBron? Obviously, that's a dream, but everybody can dream a little bit. But last predictions, what do you think is going to happen with Dwight this season? Do you think he's going to stay? Is he going to get bought out? Is he going to have a good season? What's going to happen with him?
Look, I think he's going to have a solid enough season. I feel like we're going to see plenty of Instagram posts from him, plenty of Snapchats from him and Jeremy Lin. I feel like those two are going to develop a really cool romance as they sort of had a little bit in Houston, as I was sort of mentioning earlier. I feel like there's going to be positivity towards Dwight Howard's tenure. I'm going to go the fact that, you know, he may get bought out at the trade deadline. I feel like Sean Marks is going to create that little bit of more space. You know, it could happen to even Damari Carroll as well. Lots of sort of guys in our roster are in the sort of realm of, you know, creating that extra cap space. But one little tidbit, this was David Roth on Twitter. Apparently, I'm not sure if this is true, this was tweeted out and made the rounds. Dwight Howard was seen roaring with laughter at the Shake Shack across the street from Barclays Center, and he was watching SpongeBob SquarePants on his phone at peak volume, and he wasn't even ordering anything. I don't know if that's true, but it just sounds like Dwight Howard in a nutshell. And, you know, if we're hanging out at Shake Shack anytime soon, Nick, down at Barclays, then I'm sure we're going to be spotting Dwight soon.
Yeah, definitely. And Dwight just seems like a funny guy. Like you said, there is a chance he gets bought out. I feel like he's actually going to have a solid season with the Nets, and they're going to keep him throughout. And I think it could end up making them more competitive. Like, Dwight is still a solid player, like we mentioned earlier on. But last question, Jack, actually, before we get out of here, one more thing. What do you think is going to happen with the rest of free agency? Obviously, this trade is going to eat up a lot of the cap space. They might just have enough money to sign your boy Joe Harris, and that's about it.
Yeah, look, it looks interesting, Nick. I'm not sure if this is the last thing that the Nets do. I'm not sure we can take on in terms of financially wise, you know, those sort of salary dumps like Kenneth Faried, Marcin Gortat, John Henson, maybe, might be the probably only likely one. So it seems unlikely that the Nets are sort of a trading ground for that sort of sense. But I feel like Sean Marks has got something up his sleeve. And Charlotte probably in the moves. In the lights of doing something as well. But I feel like there's something else that could happen. We don't know. Sean Marks, we had no idea that this was going to happen. As a lot of the deals that are sort of early on in the trade, sort of around the draft, mind you, sorry, they sort of come out of nowhere. The D'Angelo one did. This one certainly did. There were rumors we talked about on our last offseason pod about, you know, Dwight being part of a package for the number 11 pick. Now, we got Dwight. We didn't get that 11 pick as we wanted, but I feel like something's going to happen. I can feel it in my bones.
Yeah, no, definitely. It has a vibe that something's going to happen on draft night. I mean, I think it's almost more likely now that they trade Dinwiddie or Rondae Hollis-Jefferson trying to move up a little bit more. I think they're interested in getting the teams. They've been a team connected to a lot of the draft trades. And obviously, you know, there was some talk about the Nets making a move in Hornets, but we didn't know it was going to be this deal right here. But Jack and I will be back with more offseason pods. We're going to give you a draft recap this weekend, and I'm sure we'll be breaking down any more trades that happen. As always, thank you for listening. Jack, thank you for hopping on, and big shout out to Evan and Dylan for hopping on. And you can check out all of our shows on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, otgbasketball.com.